open and posture to you. So, Father, I just thank you as Simeon brings your word and your truth, Father, that, you would lead us, you would guide us, and be amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Over to you, Simeon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's great to be with you, and I just want to say thanks to Chris and Shay, really, for the encouragement that they are to us. They really do encourage us in the course, and they bring energy and enthusiasm, which is great, and we really appreciate that. So thank you both for all you do, and for the energy that you bring as well. I'm just going to see whether I can share my screen with you guys, because I want to look at this passage of scripture that we had Shay read for us in Acts chapter 2. And I'm just going to see if I can open this up. Now, it might work with the magic of technology. If not, yep, we could be there. Brel.
Okay. You can see the coffee's there already, Simeon.
Yeah, I've just made myself a cup of coffee. That's cool. There you go. We've been on this a journey of mission for quite some time now, and we've been thinking about what it means to be a missionary people as God's people. And it's great to get to know some of you on the Forge Ethos course. Thank you for those of you that are joining us. It was a bit of a tough climb last Tuesday. And there was lots of ground to cover, but the great thing is that the destination is worth the journey, isn't it? And there are new sites for us to see along the way. So can I encourage you, those of you that are joining that, just to persevere, and I'm sure some of that heavy lifting will be worth it in the end. Did you pick up on the news this last week that the Royal Mail is struggling to get some of its deliveries out on time? Partly because of staff shortages, and I think they listed about 28 places in the UK where your mail will not arrive on time. My wife, Janet, had a letter in the post on Tuesday, I think it arrived, asking or inviting her to come for her vaccine last Sunday. So it got there a little bit late, actually, but fortunately we'd done it by email. She's a key worker. And so she managed to get down there, but the letter was completely behind schedule. But it reminds me about the story about the postman who decided it wasn't fair that everyone was getting the opportunity to work from home, and yet he was still out there in the cold and in the rain. And so he decided that he would stop delivering letters and that he too would work from home. And after a while, he got some complaints on his round that people weren't getting their letters. And he said, well, I've decided I'm going to work from home just like everybody else. But don't worry. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open all your mail. And if there's anything interesting, I'll give you a ring and tell you to come and collect it. I'm not sure if you'd appreciate a service like that. But if you're like me, my street, I sit in my window here and I watch the delivery vans arriving kind of all day, really. DPD, Amazon, the Hermes van, they're all pulling into the street, and you kind of wonder, is it your turn to get a delivery? But this morning I want to talk to you about a very different delivery, the delivery of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that God sends. We've just celebrated the delivery of Jesus, of the Son, God coming in human form in Jesus. And now God comes as his Holy Spirit as part of this second act, this Acts promise, the promise of God's Spirit. And Luke records for us the Acts of the Apostles, but we might better kind of understand it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's about the unfolding mission of God in his world, this important step where God sends his Spirit as his activity, his power at work in our world today as he reveals himself. If you remember in your Bibles and think back to what Chris was doing last week, Acts chapter 1, the disciples living in lockdown, there they were in the upper room waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And then chapter 2 marks this awesome explosion of the church. And I just want to encourage you this morning to remind you that we are part of that Jesus movement that begins in Acts chapter 2. That we are part of that human story, that God story that has shaped our culture for thousands of years, centered in the person of Jesus. The ripple effect of Pentecost has touched my life and it's touched your life too. There's a continuity here that takes us from Pentecost right to your living room where you are sitting today. There's continuity there. And I just want to focus on how that happens today. How it is that we are invited to be part of God's story, sitting where you are, your life, your context, your story of Jesus. You're part of this God story. And it's connected to Acts chapter 2. Peter uses this amazing verse, doesn't he, in chapter 2 and verse 39. And he talks about the promise being for you and for your children and for all who are far off. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. And here we are, a people that are far off from that Pentecost moment, and yet it's a promise for us today. There's that verse that I just reminded you of. Isn't it amazing that this promise is for us today? This is for all who are far off. And I don't know how near or far you feel. Those of you that are tuning in this morning as part of this fellowship called Lisvain Baptist, whether you feel close or far, but this promise is for you today. How does that happen? Well, it's a story about a missionary God and how we are equipped for mission. And I want to talk first of all about the spirit of mission. We'll try and cover this quickly, the spirit of mission. One of the hardest things about the pandemic, and maybe you found it as well, is isolation, isn't it? Of staying in. Are you going stir crazy yet, having to stay in your home and not go out? Maybe just limiting yourself if you're working from home or if you're retired, just for that little visit to the shop and maybe your daily exercise, which must, of course, start from home and end at home, according to the rules. And walking, as I was yesterday, we live in North Cardiff in Llandaff North, and we live quite close to the River Taff, the Taff Trail. And the Taff Trail just goes manic in lockdown because everybody's walking on it and trying to avoid each other. It's a bit like Strictly Come Dancing, as you kind of waltz around each other and people stand to the side and you kind of feel like you've got a bad smell or something, the way that people walk around you. It's really weird. The lockdown swerve, we call it. And when you throw bicycles into that as well, because there's a load of bikes there, it gets to be quite a challenge. But we are not alone. We do not live in isolation. We are not made for isolation. We're made for community. And God sends his spirit in Acts chapter 2 to come near to us. And this is what Jesus promised, you'll remember, in John's Gospel chapter 14. As Jesus says to his friends, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. I will not leave you as orphans. But I will come to you and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And what we're reading here in Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus is true to his word. I will not leave you, and the Father will give you another advocate to be with you. I will come to you, Jesus says. And this is that long promised delivery of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was there in creation as the Spirit hovers over the waters in Genesis, the same Spirit that anoints God's people in the Old Testament, the same Spirit that Peter refers to in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 in his sermon, when he quotes the words of the prophet Joel and talks about the Spirit coming and enabling your young men to dream dreams, pouring out his spirit. And here we are, this same Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you today to remind you that you are not alone. that the same Spirit poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost is with you today, whether you be a gathered church in a building, a community center, or in a chapel or a church, or whether you are scattered, as we are today across Zoom, we are still signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Sisters and brothers, you are not alone. And the Spirit comes to advocate, to draw near, to be the comforter, the counselor, the one sent by the Father who sends us out, equipped by his Holy Spirit. And we are not left like a church waiting for the return of Jesus in some kind of empty void. And maybe we can feel like that at times, that we live between ascension and the second coming of Christ, and there's an emptiness there. And of course there isn't. The Spirit fills his church. The Spirit comes and moves in the kingdom of God, and he touches our lives. What I find interesting in this passage is that in chapter 2 and verse 1, Luke says a little detail. They were all together in one place when the day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place. And it's weird, isn't it, that we are separated this morning. We're all in different places, and yet we've managed to be together. We've come together using technology. And I just want to remind you again that the Holy Spirit is not some kind of guardian angel, a spirit guide, my personal superpower, my inner voice, or even my personal bodyguard. He may have aspects of those things, but primarily the Spirit is for the body. As the body comes together, we are equipped for mission. And it's our Western individualism that tends to see everything in personal terms today. And the Holy Spirit comes to equip the body of God's people as they meet together in one place. And he empowers you for witness. The Spirit of mission is priming you to go and to be Jesus wherever you go this week. Let me take you further into this passage and talk about how we are to live a life of witness, equipped by the Spirit, a life of witness. Can I confess to you that I don't find it easy to be a Christian witness? I don't find it easy to be a Christian witness. I have not yet converted my street, my neighbours. I have family members who don't yet know Jesus. And I have steadily tried to share something of Christ through my life, and as yet they do not yet know him. You won't find me in Whitchurch or in Queen Street in Cardiff preaching with my black Bible or handing out tracts. I do not lead 10 people to Christ before breakfast. I struggle to share my faith with my neighbours. But I want to share my faith with my neighbours. And I want them to come to know Jesus. What I find in this passage is that here are a transformed group of disciples who were equipped to share Jesus as the Spirit enabled them. There's something really interesting what happens in this passage as the Holy Spirit falls upon them, as tongues of fire rest upon them, as they're equipped and filled by the Spirit, they begin to speak in tongues. And let's just take a step back a moment from the controversy that we can sometimes get into when we talk about speaking in tongues. But let's just look for a moment at what actually happens in verse 6. So as they speak in tongues, a crowd come together and they're bemused, bewildered. And they each hear their own language being spoken. And they are utterly amazed and they say, aren't these just Galileans? And then verse 12, Luke sums it up as they ask the question, what does this mean? There's a huge amount going on here theologically that we haven't got time to get into. But in essence, it's the Spirit, as the Spirit comes, that equips them to be witnesses. They provoke both wonder and the question, what does this mean? And it seems to me that one of the primary purposes of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to equip us to be the kind of people that others take notice of, who ask the question when they come into contact with us, what are you on? How do you live this kind of life? What kind of love or life speaks with love and service and grace? How is it that you live this kind of life? What does this mean? Is the question that people ought to be asking when they come into contact with us. Maybe you've been watching some of the news, I'm sure you have, over this period, and a story caught me at the start of the year, and it was about Pastor Mick Fleming from Burnley, in the north of England. And he'd teamed up with another Anglican vicar, Father Alex Frost, and they were on the news for a bit because they were genuinely just pouring their hearts out for their community. And they were just crying because of the poverty that they were engaging. And it provoked such a response from the news that they had about £250,000 in donations. And they were using that money just to buy food. And instead of the pews being filled with just a few people, the pews were filled with food. And people from their community, some of the people are right on the margins, were being fed. The hungry were being fed. And what was fascinating about the story is that they went into the backstory of Mike Fleming, and they said before he came to Christ, he was an armed drug dealer. And he'd led a very rough life, and he'd spent time in prison, and yet he'd come to find Jesus. And that's a lovely example, isn't it, of the kind of life that says, what does this mean? How can an armed, convicted drug dealer become the kind of person that pours out their life for the most disadvantaged, the most marginalized people in their community, and just serve them food through a pandemic? What kind of question does my life provoke? What kind of language do people hear when I'm speaking? Isn't it fascinating that everybody heard the disciples speaking their own language? One of the problems for me, I think, with the church today is that we are sharing faith, but it's not always in a language that people can understand. We're talking a different language. It's a language that people struggle to understand. It's a language that's couched in religious terms, in traditionalism. And people go, I'm not quite sure I understand you people. I don't know what it is that moves you. And yet the language of someone like Mick Fleming from Burnley speaks a language that even the most marginalized get. It's a language of love and grace. It's a language of open-handed service. It's a language of no strings attached. It isn't a language that says, if you come to our church, we'll love you. It's a language that says, we'll love you just for who you are. And we'll prove that to you. A life of witness equipped by the Holy Spirit. And just to conclude, because it would be wrong not to just say this, it's a life that points people to Jesus. It's a life that points people to Jesus. It's not about me and it's not about you. You know, when we save people around a charismatic leader or whatever, we're not pointing people to Jesus. We bring people to the foot of the cross. And that's exactly what Peter does. This Peter, emboldened by the Holy Spirit, is ready to give an answer and tell them about the Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified and rose again. We won't look at the whole sermon here. We haven't got time at all. But I just want you to reflect on the fact that only a few weeks earlier, Peter was sitting by a fire and he was saying, I don't know Jesus. Three times, he said, when he was challenged, aren't you the one that was with Jesus? And he said, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And I've lost count of the number of times that I've failed Jesus when I haven't said what I should have said. When either it's by my actions or by my words, I've betrayed him because I should have said. But I want you to be encouraged today that even the imperfect Peter points people to Jesus. He knew enough about the story of God to lay it before them in an emboldened sermon, equipped by the Holy Spirit in a way that they could connect with. And sometimes my experience of church is that people often think, well, it's down to people like Chris and Shay to spread the love, and we're just there to cheer them on. They're the ones that are called to preach. I'm afraid that's not true. They are called to preach, but they're also called to equip others to be signposts towards Jesus. For you in your daily life, with your children, your grandchildren, with your neighbours that you know that live next door to you, with the people that you meet when you're going out for a walk in lockdown, we're called to point people to Jesus in all of our different contexts and to know enough about the story of God to say, this is who I believe in. Peter preaches an amazing sermon, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised, gave him the words to say. But it took courage, didn't it, to open his mouth? It took courage. And it takes courage for me to be a witness. It takes courage for you to be a witness, to be bold enough. And I think we need to be bold in these days and to be unashamed and to confidently declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't feel equipped to do that, if you kind of think, I'm afraid of what questions people will ask me, I'm afraid that I won't know the answers, can I encourage you just to read a little, to get hold of some books that maybe will just help you, to give you that confidence, to perhaps understand enough of the sweep of the Bible, to be able to explain about where God's kingdom breaks into your life. You might want to do a course like the Bible course from the Bible Society, just to get a sweep of the scriptures. Ask Chris or Shay just to recommend to you an easy book that you can just read during these lockdown moments, and give you that ability to share the story. But let me just close by saying this today, that it's the Holy Spirit that equips us for mission. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to point to Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to share Christ. This promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off. Who do you know today that's far off? Who is far away from Christ this morning? And what about your children? Is it for them? And is it for you today? May God bless you and encourage you to know the power of Pentecost, because it is for you, it is for me. And may you know his equipping in these days. We're going to pray together and then we're going to sing. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that we can put our trust and our hope in you. We thank you that you do not leave us as orphans, but that you come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. And we pray that we might learn to recognize you at work in our lives, in the lives of others, in the lives of our children, in the lives of those who are far off. And help us, we pray, to be the kind of people who have the courage and the boldness, as imperfect as we are, to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you just call us to be signposts, and we pray that we might be clear in all that we say and in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.